Task 2. You will hear part of a program. Read through the notes below and complete them by filling in the gaps with the exact words you hear. Gap 0 is an example. Now, read the notes.
Psychologists and neurologists are discovering that empathy can actually have a really dark side. Here's Invisibilia co-host Hannah Rosen.
In 1977, a young psychology graduate student named Mark Davis was hunting around for a dissertation topic when he landed on a decent idea. At the time, people were very interested in the concept of empathy, but no one knew precisely how to define it yet. So Mark wrote up a list of statements to try and parse out its different dimensions. For example, question number 2.
I often have tender, concerned feelings for people less fortunate than me.
Empathic concern, feeling compassion for people in need. A list of 28 questions, agree or disagree. And the list was a huge success, used thousands of times by researchers who were tracking the empathy levels of America's youth. What happened to empathy? Because in the 70s, when Mark made that list and when I was growing up, being empathic was something you 100% aspired to.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I grew up.
This is Fritz Breithaupt, a professor at Indiana University who wrote a book on empathy. After World War II, social scientists and psychologists started to push this concept of empathy into the culture. The idea was we were either headed for World War III or we were going to have to learn to see the world through each other's eyes.
And that was always the idea that had the Germans had more empathy in the 1930s, Hitler would not have happened.
Empathy was also big with civil rights activists. The idea was that people with power and privilege were supposed to inhabit the realities of people without power, not from this safe, noblesse oblige distance of pity, but from the inside. Over a decade ago, students just stopped buying the automatic logic of empathy. Like, why should they put themselves in the shoes of someone who was not them, much less someone they thought was harmful?
The good purpose it serves is to empower people who feel victimized by certain other people to say, okay, it's important for me to step up against that, against abuse, about discrimination, about injustice.
The new rule for empathy is reserve it. Not for your quote-unquote enemies, but for the people you believe are hurt or you have decided need it the most, for your own team. Which is a problem, because here's the dirty secret about empathy. Lately, psychologists and neurologists have started to look at how empathy actually works in our brains. And one thing they found, says Fritz,
one of the strongest triggers for human empathy is observing some kind of conflict between two other parties.
The Super Bowl, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Kavanaugh hearings.
But once they take the side, they're drawn into that perspective. And that leads to strong, very strong empathy and to strong polarization, where suddenly you only see this one side and not the other side any longer.
Researchers who study empathy have noticed that it's actually really hard to empathize with people who are different than you are, but set up a conflict and people get into automatic empathy overdrive with their own team. This is a kind of dynamic that Fritz says might even be motivating terrorists.
some terrorists, it's not a complete absence of empathy that draws them in, but rather it's an excess of empathy. They feel the pity, they feel the suffering of their people.
This is why Fritz called his new book The Dark Sides of Empathy, because there's a point at which empathy starts to look more like tribalism, a way to keep reinforcing your own point of view and blocking out any others. In my generation, we thought of empathy as the big warm sun lighting the path to peace for us all. Now, it operates like a torch. You shine it on your friends and use it to burn your enemies.
Now, listen again.
Psychologists and neurologists are discovering that empathy can actually have a really dark side. Here's Invisibilia co-host Hannah Rosen.
In 1977, a young psychology graduate student named Mark Davis was hunting around for a dissertation topic when he landed on a decent idea. At the time, people were very interested in the concept of empathy, but no one knew precisely how to define it yet. So Mark wrote up a list of statements to try and parse out its different dimensions. For example, question number 2.
I often have tender, concerned feelings for people less fortunate than me.
Empathic concern, feeling compassion for people in need. A list of 28 questions, agree or disagree. And the list was a huge success, used thousands of times by researchers who were tracking the empathy levels of America's youth. What happened to empathy? Because in the 70s, when Mark made that list and when I was growing up, being empathic was something you 100% aspired to.
Absolutely. That's exactly how I grew up.
This is Fritz Breithaupt, a professor at Indiana University who wrote a book on empathy. After World War II, social scientists and psychologists started to push this concept of empathy into the culture. The idea was we were either headed for World War III, or we were going to have to learn to see the world through each other's eyes.
And that was always the idea that had the Germans had more empathy in the 1930s, Hitler would not have happened.
Empathy was also big with civil rights activists. The idea was that people with power and privilege were supposed to inhabit the realities of people without power, not from this safe, noblesse oblige distance of pity, but from the inside. Over a decade ago, students just stopped buying the automatic logic of empathy. Like, why should they put themselves in the shoes of someone who was not them, much less someone they thought was harmful?
The good purpose it serves is to empower people who feel victimized by certain other people to say, okay, it's important for me to step up against that, against abuse, about discrimination, about injustice.
The new rule for empathy is reserve it. Not for your quote-unquote enemies, but for the people you believe are hurt or you have decided need it the most, for your own team. Which is a problem, because here's the dirty secret about empathy. Lately, psychologists and neurologists have started to look at how empathy actually works in our brains. And one thing they found, says Fritz,
one of the strongest triggers for human empathy is observing some kind of conflict between two other parties.
The Super Bowl, the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Kavanaugh hearings.
But once they take the side, they're drawn into that perspective. And that leads to strong, very strong empathy and to strong polarization, where suddenly you only see this one side and not the other side any longer.
Researchers who study empathy have noticed that it's actually really hard to empathize with people who are different than you are. But set up a conflict, and people get into automatic empathy overdrive with their own team. This is a kind of dynamic that Fritz says might even be motivating terrorists.
Some terrorists, it's not a complete absence of empathy that draws them in, but rather it's an excess of empathy. They feel the pity, they feel the suffering of their people.
This is why Fritz called his new book The Dark Sides of Empathy, because there's a point at which empathy starts to look more like tribalism, a way to keep reinforcing your own point of view and blocking out any others. In my generation, we thought of empathy as the big warm sun lighting the path to peace for us all. Now, it operates like a torch. You shine it on your friends and use it to burn your enemies.
This is the end of task 2.